dive into the Word. And I'm just going to be reading this off the screen today.
Your mic? Mike?
Mike? There we go.
Okay.
Heather?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for the reminder. We're going to dive into the Word today. I'm going to be reading it off the screen. This is from Proverbs 23. Be not among wine buyers or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. And then from Proverbs 23 as well. If you have found honey, keep only enough for you, lest you be sated with it and vomit it. And into Isaiah, saying this, in the day the Lord God of hosts called to weeping and mourning, to baldness and girding with sackcloth, and behold, joy gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating the flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Lord of hosts has revealed himself in my ears. Surely this iniquity will not be forgiven you until you die. This is people who were called to mourning, but instead decided to throw a party. In Philippians 3, verse 19, it says, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. And then in Titus, chapter 2, 11, 12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions, to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. Then lastly, in 2 Peter, we read this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, with knowledge, and knowledge, with self-control, and self-control, with steadfastness, and steadfastness, with godliness, and godliness, with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection, with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from turning, from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. All right. There is another walk through the Bible. And we're just doing that walk through approach for this series to let you know that what we're talking about, these seven deadly sins, these sins that are traditionally known as the seven deadly sins, that they're not just found in one verse in the Bible. That as we go through the entire Bible, this is something that comes up again and again and again. And today we're talking about gluttony and the corresponding virtue of abstinence. This idea that we can overindulge and that we can refrain. That we can lose all control and that we can practice self-control. And by way of introduction, I want to remind you of one of the parables of Jesus. And if you're not a student of the Bible, just listen to this story. And Jesus takes this pretty seriously. He tells a story about a rich man and a beggar whose name was Lazarus. And the rich man would feast every single day. And Lazarus was the beggar who sat at his gate. And every day the rich man would come and go, and he would see Lazarus sitting right there. And he would come home, and he would see Lazarus right there, and he would go to his great feast. And he didn't ever get Lazarus in. Then he woke up. And Lazarus goes to heaven, and the rich man does not. And there's this conversation between heaven and hell that takes place. There's this conversation between The rich man is crying out to God. And they have this conversation, and God says, look, there's this chasm between us. I can't bring you up. I can't send Lazarus over to give you even a drink of water. And then God says something profound. He says, in your life, you had your good things. And now, Lazarus is old. Right? There's this idea and this statement that you were given good things in life and you didn't share them. You were blessed, but you weren't a blessing. You were poured out upon, and you didn't do anything loving with it. Jesus takes the sin of gluttony very seriously. And what is really terrifying to me is that we as a culture don't. It is that if you're going to talk about sin, if you're out on the street and you're talking about this idea of sin, and you're talking about the ways of the world, and you're probably going to say something that has to do with something with sexuality. But God takes a bigger picture, and this, especially for us here in America, should be a pretty scary, scary thing. It should be very much a wake-up call to us about the priorities of God and our priorities, and what we need to do to move in the right direction. And here's what how we're going to define what it is. It's giving in to the desire to consume more than we need. Right? Now, this week, anybody else watch the Olympics? I love the Olympics. This is my once every 4 years. I just get into this. And so I was really, really excited the other night when the women's soccer team was going to play New Zealand. Did anybody else catch that game? No? Okay, well, it was on this obscure channel. All right? It wasn't on NBC, it was on NBC One. We don't get that channel. So after dinner, I just knew this was out there. I really wanted to watch this game. So I started making calls. And sure enough, one of the restaurants in town that has televisions up, they were generating the game, so I went up there. And I sat down, and of course, you're at a restaurant, so you're supposed to eat. Do you remember where I just said I just had dinner? Right. So I ordered a plate full of nachos, thinking that, you know, I'll just get some chips and cheese, and I had a mountain of food in front of me. And for the next hour and a half, I picked away at these, and I left celebrating the Olympic, you know, this Olympic Games victory for the women, but I left feeling awful. Because I had been way overweight. If I went out, and I'm just going to pick another sin that we've already talked about. We talked about wrath. And if I was walking down the street, and there was another person walking down the street, and you were observing the two of us, and you watched me punch that person in the face, you would say, Pastor John, you have just committed a sin. Right? Nod your head, say yes. This is not a trick question. Okay. You know, that's a sin. You were wrathful on this person. You weren't loving towards this person. In fact, you were the opposite of loving this person. You caused harm. This is sin. Pastor John, why would you ever do that? But if we both went out to a restaurant and you saw me eat too much, would you say, Pastor John, that is gluttony right there. You ate too much, Pastor John. That is a sin before God. Not too many of you are going to call me on that, right? Probably not, if we're being honest. what are we reading about today in Scripture? What is this message that pops up over and over and over again throughout the entire Bible? This message is saying, if you have more than you need, and there's someone else who doesn't have enough, then yet all of that excess that you had was meant to be shared. That was why you were given the excess in the first place. But that overconsumption is what we call love. It's what we call sin. Yeah, this is a really hard message to put together. This is a really hard sermon to put together just because this is one of those things that is outside of what we would normally talk about. Right? When we talk about sin, most of the time we're talking about you hurt somebody else. And in any way, shape, or form, we can point to a way in which you are hurting somebody, then we know that that's kind of sin. But taking a step back from that definition of sin, we have to take a look at what the Bible says. And not by our standards, but by God's standards. And this particular sin is one that we don't even think about. Giving into the desire to consume more than we need. And when we consume more than we need, we inadvertently are letting someone else go about. This is a challenge. That was a challenge too, but we'll talk about it. So, abstinence, fasting, and restraint. Saying that I'm not going to do this. One of our scriptures today talk about their stomach is their God. And the obvious solution to this is telling our body no. Telling our body no. You don't have to have it. Telling our body this is enough. And I'm not asking anybody to be malignant. I'm not asking anybody to be anorexic. Those are serious problems. And I understand that those go in the other direction. But this overindulging is what we're talking about today. Having enough and not going beyond that. Telling our body no. It's hard. Really is. And in this, saying God is going to be the focal point of our lives. God is going to be the focal point of our lives. Now, I don't think that it was an accident that God gave us a meal to remember the Bible. I don't think that it was an accident that the bread and the cup, that this was meant to be a celebration together. I don't think that this was accidental. I think that there's something holy about gathering together over a meal. And so we're not talking about not having enough. We're not talking about starving ourselves. We are talking about saying to ourselves, enough. And the challenge here, right? The challenge here is because we've already established that we don't really think about this. The challenge then is that we're going to have to do this with ourselves. tell ourselves.
No.
Because unless you have an amazing accountability partner, they're probably not going to tell this. Showing restraint. And I would also invite you into a period of asking, or of fasting as well. If this is something that you physically can do, there's a spiritual aspect of this. And this is not about weight loss. This is not about the healthy stuff. This is spiritual exercise. And for a certain period of time, going without food. And when you are hungry, telling yourself those hunger pains are a reminder to pray. You know what's funny with me? And I don't know how many of you practice fasting. When I have to fast medically, right? You know what medical fasts are, right? So like the doctor calls you up and says, hey, you got, I think cholesterol. There's probably other tests, but that's the one I have to fast for. So you got a cholesterol test tomorrow, and don't eat for X number of hours before the test. A lot of you have probably done that, right? I don't know if you're probably doing that. But when I go to do a spiritual fast, about 5 minutes after I start, I want a snack. And I'm reminded constantly, I'm tempted constantly to break my fast. But that's why I talk about making God our focal point, so that we understand our relationship with food, so that we understand our relationship with what we are consuming is meant to be nourishment for us, is meant to be enough, is meant to be God's blessing to us, but that we, in being blessed, are meant to be a blessing. So this is the question that I want to leave you with today. Will you reject the acceptable sin? Will you reject the sin that nobody is going to talk to you about? That nobody, possibly this, young people in the room right now, this might be the last sermon you hear on this particular topic. Right? Go talk to one of the elderly people here and ask them how many sermons in their decades of coming to church that they have heard on love. At the very most of you will probably say it fit on one hand and you could lose a few fingers. Right? Yeah? Some of you who have been coming to church for a while would probably agree with that. Yeah? So, young people, this might be the only time you hear this. So I want you to know this. God cares about what we consume. God cares about what we're taking into us. And God cares about what we're sharing. Would you pray with me? God, we confess that there are some times when we worship our stomachs. That our stomachs were our gods. And God, we pray that you would be our God, that you would remind us that our stomach is not the most important thing. We pray for enough for ourselves and for all those in our community. We pray for enough. But God, remind us that our extra is meant to be shared. Help us to be people who share. Help us to not be focused on our own guts.